Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Oh, g'day, mate. How you going? And welcome, folks, to the one, the only Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm host Am O'Brien, and of course, welcome to Quinlan's Cantina Studios. Here is we get into episode number 178 of the podcast, looking at the Scott Adkins classic gangster film, redemption film, and revenge film, Avengement. Hey, folks, this is me, the Mullet. How are you? I hope you're having a great week out there. And of course, welcome to, of course, Mullet Video now, here in Mullet Land. Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. And let's let you know what you're going to be looking at tonight is, of course, this bad boy. I'm going to get used to doing this on video, folks. I tell you, Avengement. Look at that on those twin barrels. Scott Adkins, folks. One of the greats. This is the Van Damme of today, folks. Even better in some ways. He does more than just what Van Damme did back in the old days. And he loves working with Jean-Claude Van Damme himself. Yes, folks, we're going to be chatting about this movie. And it's a great flick, folks. Directed by JJ. That is, of course, Jesse V. Johnson, who's worked with, of course, the great man himself, Scott Adkins, a number of times. And, of course, it stars Craig Fairbrass, who's in, of course, Cliffhanger. This is a great one we haven't chatted about yet here, folks. I will chat about Cliffhanger at another time very, very soon. It's a great film. One that always, for me, was, you know, a decent film, folks. You know, it's Die Hard in the climate of the mountains and, the snow-capped peaks of the Italian Alps. That's how you say it, folks, isn't it? Alps. And we'll be looking at that, no doubt, very, very soon as well, because it's such a good one. And Rennie Harlan, we're going to be looking at Rennie Harlan's 12 Rounds in a couple of weeks here too, which is a phenomenal film, folks. If you haven't seen 12 Rounds before, you have to, because it is a great flick. Just quickly, while we get into the show, let you know that this film podcast that we do, looking at, of course, Star Trek, the films, the TV shows, the franchise, we've got a brand new episode coming out, of course, of Making Treks a little bit later this week, and that, of course, will have Mark Newbold back, and he'll be chatting about that. He'll be chatting about, obviously, the work he's done on the StarTrek.com and, of course, the official magazine as well. He's well-versed in it. And, of course, he's a fellow Fantha tracker like myself. Of course, Fantha tracks Star Wars news in a single file, folks. That's right. Fantha tracks is where you'll find me on there on my monthly show, The Fantha from Down Under. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, on that platform, we talk everything when it comes to Star Wars in relation to, of course, Australia. Talk about Australian history with Star Wars, of course, with Fox Studios, with the prequels, and many other things down here in Australia. Star Wars is everywhere, folks. It's everywhere. we'll be looking at that very, very soon. And as we said in our last week's round of interviews that we've had with, of course, Blair Hiscock from, of course, Movie Hug and My Saga, and even with, of course, Adam Adam Harris is that he's worked with. They're big Star Wars fans, the two of them. And, of course, both worked on the documentary of My Saga and, of course, the podcast My Saga, which I think you guys all should go and check out. It's fantastic. So hats off to, of course, those two amazing gentlemen. They've always done positive things for not only Star Wars and cinema in general, but just what these franchises do for the fandom when it comes to fun. Of course, really just getting out there and enjoying mythology, I think. The hero's myth, or, you know, really look at Joseph Campbell's heroic myth. You know, it really is stemming back to the classic mythical tropes that we've all known since, of course, you know, the heroic stories that we all grow up with. And Star Wars continued that tradition. And of course, successfully through all the generations, folks, that are out there now, we're getting that succession, whether it's through the High Republic novels now, which are, you know, opening up to a whole new generation of readers. It is a fantastic thing to check out. And for myself out here in Australia, you know, we have our own heroes myth, which has gone on for 4 films now. And no doubt, hopefully, it'll continue for even more. Now we have Furiosa on the way, which is a prequel to, of course, Fury Road. I've always said it is the greatest and best when it came to, of course, films in Australia. And, of course, of 2015, it was the most exciting film and definitely one of the greatest cinema experiences you're going to have when it comes to enjoying cinema. I mean, look at the vehicles, the work Tom Hardy did, of course, and, of course, Charlize Theron and the whole team on that film. George Miller is a magician in every sense of the word. He puts things on screen that you just cannot believe. And a lot of it is actually done for real, folks. You know, there's certain elements of CGI, obviously, but those vehicles are real. And, of course, those polecats swinging from one side to the other to the other cars, trucks, and much, much more. And what Tom Hardy, of course, all of them were doing, wow, it is amazing, folks. Let's just put it that way. So before we get into any other stuff here, let's let you know how you can catch this show and many others like it on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network. Well, you can catch me, the Lethal Mullet, at the Lethal Mullet on all forms of course social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and of course now on, well, what is it? It's on the TikTok platform. We're also on, of course, Snapchat now as well. I don't know how well that a lot of help this podcast, but it's on there. We've also got, obviously, our shows running on Podbean, which is our main website. You can find that on lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com. And be sure to subscribe there. And, of course, subscribe through whatever podcatcher you use. That is, without a doubt, the way to catch all of these shows and more. Also, please catch us at Fandom Podcast Network. That's right. We are working in line with, of course, Fandom Podcast Network. So you'll catch the shows here first if you're following this show. But you'll also find them over at, of course, Fandom Podcast Network, fpnet.podbean.com. And say hi to the guys because they're fantastic. And, of course, they're family. They're great guys. Of course, we've got, for starters, Kevin and Kyle, who are the co-founders of the podcast over there. And, of course, the network, a huge range of shows covering everything from the Orville to Star Trek to football. Oh, what Americans class is football? Yes, out here in Australia, we do not wear the stack hats and, of course, the old shoulder pads from the 1980s. No. We go mano a mano. We get out there and you get injured. I mean, it's just football, folks. It's a contact sport. Say no more, folks. They know what I'm talking about. So we got that. We've also got, of course, some great stuff with Doctor Who, with Dan Hadley, our dear brother over there in Birmingham. That's right. The man with the plan from Birmingham is, of course, Dan Hadley. And, of course, you can catch him here on this very channel on, of course, Deep Thought. And it, of course, is a show dedicated to Douglas Adams and, of course, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yes, folks, we love chatting out Hitchhiker's Guide. We're trying to do that monthly at this stage, folks, and we'll certainly look at maybe upping that soon because we know that people are enjoying a little bit of a flashback to a series which always warmed my heart and gave me a bit of a giggle at the end of it. I know I'm sure it did the same for you guys out there too. It's a great, great show, a great radio show, great series, novels, and on and on and on. Big shout out to, of course, Dan for Type 40 Doctor Who podcast and, of course, the Spacebook on Facebook, this great platform which you can see on YouTube, folks. He's got his own channel there dedicated to it, but also on Facebook. It's a huge group which they look at all forms of fandom, and there's some really interesting chat on there. And, of course, particularly if you're in those neck of the woods over in the UK, a lot of the guys all know each other too, so say hi over there if you do. All right, back into it, folks. Let's have a look at the news. All right, so Dune Part 2 is the working title, of course, of Denis Villeneuve's brand new sequel to Dune. Dune, get me? And of course, this one is going to be even bigger than the first one. Now, why is it going to be so big? Well, because this is where everything really happens. The first one was very much just an opening into this glorious universe of Dune. You know, we had little sprinklings of the Spacing Guild, a little bit of, you know, the Emperor's Envoy. We also got a little bit of the Bene Gesserit. And, of course, we got a little bit of the Fremen. And, of course, the Atreides and Harkonnen forces. In this sequel, we're going to be really seeing everything. Plus, we'll get, of course, the Emperor, Shaddam the Fourth of House Carino. We'll get Princess Irulan. And, of course, we'll get, yes, we'll get that ending with, of course, the Harkonnen getting their smashing into, of course, of the House Atreides with that final knife fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. And that's what's going to make it interesting. We're really going to see a lot more Harkonnen heavy stuff in this. A lot of Fremen training for Paul Atreides. And, of course, he's going to become the Emperor of the Known Universe. Book's been out for years, folks. If you're here and thinking, oh, Adam's talking spoilers, guys. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. Yes, he is talking about spoilers because, yes, he does become the Emperor of the Known Universe. If you haven't read the book, then get out and do it because guess what? It's been out since 1965. That's right. Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about. great book. And, of course, if you've seen the series of books, particularly the first two, you can see why Denis Villeneuve wants to do this as a trilogy because Dune Messiah lends itself to basically being, you know, the next one out, without a doubt. Because if they finish this second film, then they get to bring back Duncan Idaho because Duncan Idaho comes back as a clone or a Gola in Dune Messiah. All right? So that's the reason that Denis Villeneuve is talking about. Yes, folks, it's not a spoiler. Why? Because Dune Messiah has been out for more than 20 years. Closer to 30 years. Closer to... well, you know what I'm talking about. It's been out for a while. So with that, that means, you know, he can really bring back a character that everyone really enjoyed. Jason Momoa is a very, you know, popular actor. He's a popular, you know, character in a lot of the material he's been in. Stargate, Atlantis. It was great to see him in each one of those scenes. He always got called Chewbacca, you know, as in Chewy, as the co-pilot to, of course, Jay Flanagan's character, the captain in that, which is, you know, he always, come on, Chewy, which I thought was hilarious. But now he's even better than that. You know, look at him now. He's in Fast and the Furious, Aquaman, which we've just heard that Ben Affleck's back as Batman in that one too, because that's pretty cool. I do look. I just saw the last Batman movie. I quite enjoyed. Got to say, it's not too bad. It's long. And there's some choices I wouldn't have made if I was the director. Matt Reeves knows what he's doing. He made some fantastic films in the last couple of years with, of course, the Planet of the Apes trilogy that he rounded out with the last two films. And they were really good, particularly War for the Planet of the Apes, which is, you know, oh, amazing. So, you know, we knew you were in good stead with the Batman film. And Rob Pattinson's great, great actor. And he was an interesting choice for Batman and particularly for Bruce Wayne. It's a different take. And shooting in Scotland, lads, for Batman is just great, you know. It's fantastic, isn't it? You know, and it is. It's great. There we are. But what I love about Rob Pattinson's one is that he's kind of, it's taken that nervousness that you see in some of them, you know, the stuff particularly with Bruce Wayne, and injected it even into the Batman. You know, this is a very young Batman. This is not the Bale Batman, which is without a doubt my favourite. The Christian Bale, Batman, Christopher Nolan films are pretty much 007 in a batsuit. I mean, that's what it is. It's 007 in a batsuit. He was basically camouflaging his take on Bond within that world, you know, and it was done in a heightened reality and done well. And Christian Bale's even said, you know, if he comes back, it'll only be if Christopher Nolan does another fourth one. So, because he had been asked to come back to do one. And he's like, man, well, would I come back? only if Nolan said, this wasn't about money. It was about, you know, would you come back for the right story, the right everything? And you know that's the right way of doing it, is to bring, of course, Nolan into the mix because he knows what he's doing. And DC could really use Chris Nolan right now. Look, they've been making some movies, but it's a mess. It's chaotic. Look at it over there. DC have got, you know, the one thing that was holding things together, the Snyderverse, which still isn't my cup of tea either, but at least it's consistent to a certain degree. You know, that works. You know, the story arcs and stuff like that probably aren't what I am interested in a comic book movie. I prefer somebody like Nolan's take on that universe. And, you know, you can't really put Superman and all that sort of stuff within that Nolan realm because it's too gritty, it's too real. So you can see what they were doing with Man of Steel forward. And Man of Steel is probably the best of those films. And, you know, it is. It is, folks. It's actually the best of those Snyderverse flicks. Although the Batman vs. Superman director's cut, if you like, is a much better film. Ben Affleck's Batman just needs to have his own film. Ben Affleck's a fantastic Batman, but it wasn't the film that I was interested in seeing his Batman in, to be honest. I love the grittier take and even more ferocious Batman. He's an older Batman, but it's an interesting take nonetheless. So, folks, that's my take on that anyway. But getting back to Dune, yes, you see, got Dune Messiah would definitely be a great take on things. And it's great to hear, too, that the TV series is well and truly getting looked at, too, for production soon, hopefully. And the fact that it's going to be, you know, looking at all different areas of the Dune universe. Hopefully, it's going to be something along the lines of a show that will give us, you know, different eras of Dune. Because that's what you'd want. You'd want something that's a little bit more in the way of explaining the backstory of Dune, but also the little facets here and there. I mean, what if they had an episode on the God Emperor, Leto the Second? Leto the Second is one of the greatest characters out there. And I know I've got some dear listeners out there that agree with me. God Emperor of Dune is probably the best Dune book. And it's not the most action-packed, but it's got some of the most interesting ideas on science fiction and life and reality that are out there. And what an interesting take, put it that way. All right, with that, we're going to get into chatting about this film. All right, so let's have a look at it, folks. Avengement. That's right, Scott Adkins. Now, as you can see, it's a little bit of a different look for Scott Adkins. You know, he's got the shaved head. He's wearing what looks to be, well, it's a jacket. And, of course, got himself Mad Max's like double barrel, side by side, chopped down, sawn off shotgun. That's pretty much the look for the film, folks, because what he does is, this is a film a little bit like, I suppose, in the way of a Rashomon, where basically we're seeing how this character got to where he is, where he's been busted, broken, and he's also been to the point where he's been hardened by the experiences that he had. This is what makes it really interesting within the film itself. So we get to see this character, which Adkins plays in this, is basically the younger brother of a big gangster, played by Craig Fairbrass, who has been wronged and has basically been shoved aside to the point where something goes wrong in a deal. And this deal is pretty shaky, to be honest, folks. It's a bad deal that he had the idea for. He gets done for it, goes to prison for 5 years, I think it was. And once he gets out, he wants revenge on everyone, particularly his brother and, of course, all the goons that work for him. This is a very British take on things. And I think this is why Scott loves this film so much, is that it's really tied into that real British take on life. And it is. It's a great sort of way of looking at, you know, the British gangster flick. In some ways, imagine if Guy Ritchie got these guys, you know, and it would work to a certain degree. But Jesse V. Johnson has directed, I think, a fantastic take on that genre in this. It's action-packed. It has all the violence that you know from a Scott Adkins film, all the spin kicks that you know from a Scott Adkins film. But it's the characters in this that make it so British, such a British gangster film. All right, you know what I'm getting at, yeah? And that's what I love about it. You know, I love British gangster movies. Legend, Tom Hardy, love it. All about the craze and stuff like that. It's the characters, because it's all about the characters. It's not about the action as such in those environments. It's about them acting tough and trying to do swindly deals against each other, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, when you got cast of characters like this, it's just, it's pretty funny, put it that way. And I think it's just, you know, one of those interesting ones. And, you know, I think is the way forward. So with that, here's a little promo, folks, that you need to check out right now.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
And we are back. So if you're watching this on video, obviously you wouldn't have seen the promo. We haven't got that up there on the site just yet. So we will have, but if you're listening to the podcast, that is the new FPN 2022 promo. And of course, that is with Kevin, the Raider Nerd, Reitzel, doing his thing. As he is, of course, co-creator of the Phantom Podcast Network with Kyle Wagner. And they do a fantastic job, folks. Go over and check them out because they are awesome. So with that, folks, what we're going to do is have a look at a bit of the cast. Now, admittedly, I probably don't know a lot of the cast as in terms of what they've worked on, all that sort of stuff. But I will say this, Avengement itself is, without a doubt, one of the better casts that, you know, learning about. I've got to say that much. So with that, let's have a look at the film itself and the cast. Okay, so Scott Atkins plays Kane Burgess. Now, what a name, folks. Kane Burgess. Now, we'll say this too. Did you know that Scott actually has a Kane Burgess statue, which you can get a limited edition of with this one? That's actually true, folks. You can get that. Lincoln Burgess is played by Craig Fairbrass, of course. And I've got to say, he does a fantastic job in this. Let's have a quick look at, of course, Scott. And, you know, he's amazing background in this. Okay, so Scott, obviously, is a well-known martial artist, folks. Star, of course. A lot of it's, you know, the great talent of this man. He's both a producer, screenwriter, gymnast, martial artist. And, of course, he's known as playing, of course, Yuri Boyka in Undisputed 2, Last Man Standing, and, of course, the sequels, Undisputed 3, Redemption, and, of course, Boyka, Undisputed in 2017 as well. He's also Casey Bowman in the Ninja films, which were quite good. Ninja and, of course, Ninja Shadow of a Tear, which also has the son, of course, of Shokosugi in it as well. And that's a great one. He's also worked with Jean-Claude Van Damme in Expendables 2, which was great. And he's also worked in the Shepherd Border Patrol with him, Assassination Games, and of course, he starred in the one and only Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, which was a lot of fun, folks. You know, it was a different take for Van Damme as well. He had kind of a Apocalypse Now, Marlon Brando vibe in it too, which was really, really interesting too. So you got that. We also got, obviously, he worked in Hercules, Wolf Warrior, Ip Man 4. And, of course, X-Men Origins Wolverine. He played Deadpool in it too. Scott's done a lot of martial arts over the years, predominantly Taekwondo. So, hey, Lee Fillingsness, if you're out there tonight, Scott's certainly one that's worked alongside you in that terms. He's worked in, ninjutsu, folks. There you go. Krav Maga, Karate, Wushu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, Capoeira, and, of course, gymnastics. No doubt this gentleman is one of the better ones out there when it comes to that sort of stuff. Now, we have talked about it before, and I'm probably going to cover it here, folks, because I actually like the sequel, and that is, of course, Hard Target 2, starring, of course, Scott and Tamara Morrison's in it as well. It's a great film. You know, it is, yes, a straight-to-video one, but I enjoy it. I actually liked the take on it. You don't get Chance Boudreau, but you certainly get, you know, a different take on things. And look, you're not always, you know, going to get all that together, are you? You know, it's not always going to happen the way you expect. Chance Boudreau was an amazing character that Van Damme had. That's probably one of the more interesting ones. Why? Because he had one of these, folks. He had Le Moulet, right? But what's great about the character was just the iconic idea that he was this, you know, Marine Force recon guy who went out and basically hunted the hunters, which made it interesting. All right, let's get back to it. So Atkins, obviously, he's worked in a lot of those areas, and look, got to say, he has a passion for things because he's got his Art of Action show, which is a video podcast on YouTube, and he's talked to everyone from Steven Seagal, Jeff Speakman, and his good pals as well. Even, of course, the Aussie himself, Lewis Mandalore, is an Australian film and television actor. Lewis is something we've always known for years out here in Australia would be, you know, a fantastic actor. He's also got a martial arts background too, and he's worked with, of course, Scott on a number of things. He's also worked on, of course, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And, of course, looks like he was also in My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 in 2016 as well. I didn't even know there was a sequel, folks. He's from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And, of course, he's the younger brother of Costas Mandalore. Yes, folks, Costas Mandalore, who was in, come on, a Gary Daniels movie, and he was the bad guy. Think about an anime adaptation that Gary Daniels did years and years ago, and I'm not talking about the Jackie Chan one, but he was the lead and Costas Mandalore was the bad guy. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about that one. And Lewis is 55 years old. No, you don't look at Lewis. No way. But let's have a look at it. So he's worked on quite a bit of material. He used to work on Martial Law, the TV show back in the 90s, so 98 to 99 it was, if I remember right. And he played Detective Lewis Malone. Oh, he's called Lewis. That's a good one. Of course, with Sammo Hung, legendary action star from Hong Kong. Fantastic. He's worked on Relic Hunter, Friends, Price of Glory, Suckers, Resurrection Boulevard, Angel Blade, Charmed. And that's just the TV, and it goes on and on and on. He's worked as a producer, writer, director. But a lot of it, obviously, is he's worked in behind the scenes as an actor as well. Debt Collectors he was in as well, which I do believe they've got a sequel to Debt Collectors out as well. He's in Doom Annihilation, Nightwalk, Avengement in this one. He plays Detective O'Hara. And Rambo Last Blood, he played the Sheriff, which is the last of those Rambo movies that we saw. It was great. Lewis is really good. And you watch, Scott's channel on YouTube when he chatted to Lewis. He actually told him about some of the Australian martial arts background that he's got out here. And again, you know, back when he was younger, you know, doing that sort of stuff, you know, martial arts out here was predominantly, it was Taekwondo, heavy here in Australia, heavy in karate, obviously, through the late 70s, early 80s. You know, you got people coming up like Richard Norton, Australian action star, who went on to, of course, work with some of those fantastic directors, particularly with Jackie Chan, of course, Sammo Hung. There's even a fight between Sammo and Richard with tennis rackets and squash rackets, bashing the crap out of each other. But getting back to it, Lewis is great in this, and of course he just plays one of the police in this fantastic actor who I think needs to get more credit. Same with his brother. Costas was great too. All right, we've got Kirsten Waring and as Bez in this. We've got Thomas Turgoose as Tune. See, I love these gangster nicknames in this. This is great. Leo Gregory as Mo. Nick Moran as Hyde. Now, I've seen his face before, folks. We need to talk about him. Let's have a look. Nick Moran. So what films has he been in, and what do we know him from? All right, so he's an actor, writer, and producer based in the UK. He was born in East End in 1969. There you go. I knew it was one of them. Of course, he's in The Musketeer back in 2001. Now, that is one we need to follow here and chat about one day here, because The Musketeer was quite a good film. And, of course, I do believe that was done with a Hong Kong stunt team. Is their take on things. Of course, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Guy Ritchie. There you go. That's where we know him from. Of course, he's worked with, of course, Jason Statham in that one too. So look at that. And, you know, he's really good in this. It was The Musketeer. I was right, folks. so let's have a look at that. So The Musketeer, he played Aramis in it. And so this is an interesting one where basically it was taking the wire work from that era. Directed by Peter Hyams, folks. Yes, we know that name. Peter Hyams. Yes. You know who I'm talking about, folks, and you know the movies I'm talking about. And, of course, based on, of course, the novels by, of course, Alexandre Dumas, and it had Justin Chambers, Catherine Deneuve, and Mena Suvari in it. And it is fantastic when it comes to the stunts. But I think you're going to find some of those stunts were all done before in Once Upon a Time in China. That's right. Very similar stunt work in it, and one scene, particularly with the swords. So we also have Sophie Goldie in this as Spittle. We have Terrence Maynard as Stokes. Ross O'Hennessy as Evans. Actually, Ross is really good in this film. He has a fight scene with Scott where he's basically, actually two fairly good fight scenes. One where he's basically getting the crap kicked out of him when he's first incarcerated. And then a little bit later, once he gets out and he's been hardened, he's been toughened, he gets a chance to actually have a go at the guy. And, God, he really gives it a go, folks. what else we got here? We got also Bo Fowler in this. Joe Egan as Lump. Now, Joe Egan's a big, big lad. And he gets some great scenes in this one to fight as well. We also got Michael Higgs, Mark Strange. And we've also got, actually, we've got two Mark Strangers. It's Cliff. Interesting. I wonder if it's the same guy. Greg Burridge and Teresa Mahoney as well. Now, the film is basically, as I said, it's about, Scott's character walking into a pub owned by his brother, Craig Fairbrass's character, Lincoln. And he literally, as Kane, sits down and has a cold pint. Has himself a glass. And he just says, I'm just going to finish my beer. I'm sure I'm here. Just going to finish my lager. And behind him is all of Lincoln's likely lads, the ones that are, of course, part of his crew. From here, he literally takes the mickey out of each one, and we get a Rashomon-like story about how he got where he was. And as each of them come into the pub, they're literally torn apart, and to the point where we see every one of those lives that has touched Kane's through his eyes and through theirs as well. And it's an interesting take. Don't want to spoil all of that, because some great scenes. Some of the best scenes are the scenes in the prison where he's really learning to harden his body and his mind, and more his mind than anything, folks. All right? This is what it was about, was, you know, the physical can be easy, but getting out there and actually doing it well the way he does it. And, of course, Scott trains hard all the time. You only just got to see his channel. So this was an opening to see what it'd be like to be like that. And then, of course, then we start to see, once he's out and gets himself out of prison, he starts tracking each one of those guys and starts literally taking them out. And that's the whole point. This is his revenge. cops are after him. And of course, eventually Lincoln does come to the pub. The face-off between the two is fantastic. It's a real brutal fight. This is not martial arts like in on all the ways. This is actually quite a full-on old-school fisticuffs. Even to the point where they throw a bag filled with 2x4s and golf clubs and, you know, anything you can belt somebody with. The only gun in the whole place was the sawn-off shotgun. The film itself is really a mixture of the Snatch-like universe, a little bit of the Scott Atkins one, and really slick-cut gangster film. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It is a 5 out of 5. You know, I don't always just give out 5 out of 5s, folks, on this show. But for Scott Atkins, mate, this is a must. If you haven't seen it, get it. It's without a doubt probably his favorite. It's mine. And I tell you what, you got to see it. That's everything today from all of us here, of course, at the channel. I hope you enjoyed chatting about, obviously, Avengement. You need to check it out if you haven't seen it. And, folks, whatever you do, check out this show and many others like it. Of course, at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com. And, of course, check us out on all the socials at The Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you next time here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to The Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle @TheLethalMullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.